We have a time clock. When you come in the morning, we clock in. When you go out, if you are going out and you are not coming in or coming back, you clock out. So this organization was started by the British people here in Uganda. And one thing I observed them, after some time, they introduced the timing clock. Why? We blacks, we don't know how to keep our time. We don't know what time is. I'm sorry to say that, but I've been brought up. One time when I was growing after my O-level, I went out of, from home I went and stayed with an old white man from Britain. And this man put some values in me. And those values have worked for me up to today. One of the values is keeping time. You keep time, you win. You keep time, you make money. You keep time, you succeed in whatever level or whatever place you are. God loves people who keep time. God works with people who keep time. Anyway, that's out of the point, but sorry. Now, let me introduce myself. Many people find it very difficult to pronounce my name. My name is Owanda. My second name is Edward. That's the one you're used with. And I'm a married person, although you don't see my ring here. At times, put it on and remove it. Why? After some time, it irritates me. So I told my wife, I don't like it. And when I wash my face every day, every morning, it just scratches my face. Quack! So I said, please, between me and you, you know that I'm your husband. But for the time being, or most of the time, I'll not have my ring on. So my wife and I, we have three children. God has blessed us with three children, one female and two boys. Most of you guys here, you know my boys. You know David? And the younger man who is finishing this year from Makerere. That's our last born. He's a tall guy. All my boys, I'm small, but my boys are big. I don't know where they got the genes from. Maybe from their uncles. And my wife also is not big, small. But their uncles are big, huge men. So I think they borrowed that from there. So God has blessed us with those children. My two children are working. My girl is working. My second boy is working. And the last boy is at the university. God has helped us to bring them in the ways of the Lord. Up to this day, they are with us. My boy David is courting. And he challenged me yesterday evening because I told him I'm going to share in the fellowship of men. And the topic I have is this one and this one. Then he challenged me, he said, Dad, you know, these days some women are more spiritual than men. At home, if your wife is more spiritual, what do you do? You leave her to lead. I said, no, son, you are wrong. You are totally wrong. The Bible does not accept that. And thank God, pastors emphasized that this morning. A man, as a man, you are supposed to be a leader at home. Don't leave your wife to make suggestions. Okay, it's good for your wife to make suggestions. Like Pastor said, we are all equal on the same level because God never got your wife from the feet, your wife from the head. He got your wife to be, if some of you are not married, from here, the rib, here, so that you are equal, you share. Temperaments, if you know about temperaments, your wife may be of a different temperament, and I have a different temperament. So she will help me with her temperaments to balance mine. Maybe if I'm a sanguine, or she's workaholic, or I'm a workaholic, and she's a sanguine, there is a way God brings those things, balances those things together, so that we can live harmoniously, live a good life. and with a good understanding. Therefore, one of the elders, young elder, requested me to share with you the following things. There are quite many, but we will see how to go about around about them. Men to be courageous. Men to be courageous. No, to be courageous and to be the priest. Men to be courageous and be the protector. Men to be courageous and be the provider. Man be courageous and be the husband. Man be courageous and be the father at home. And encourage married men to start doing these things. And if they are not doing them, let them start doing them. Single men. That will be the topic towards the end. Because if I start with young men, you may run away. So I have something for you. Now, these men, young men, tell them how to prepare for marriage. Yeah, it's the same thing, single man to get married, encourage his, to be sexually pure. That is both for us, for me and for you. Married and the young, how to be sexually pure. And then another one is here, responsible at all times according to the word of God. Now, those are the, we are going to cruise over those issues. And I stand before you not as the one who is knowledgeable about these things. No. We are sharing. I want to learn from you. And also what I have, I give unto you. So we are going to share these things together and see how God can help us to be the men of God at home, the men of God at church, the men of God at the street, the men of God when you are traveling, the men of God when you are in that hotel alone. Everywhere, man of God. Always his trademarks follow him. I travel a lot, Pastor knows, I travel a lot. Actually today, I had to plan for this day. I had a meeting in my place. I was the secretary. They wanted me to say something about what I was writing and emphasize some points, but I said, I kept time. They told me 8:30 I was there. There was nobody, we were two people. They told me, oh, wait for us. I called them, I took my phone. I called the leader. I said, oh, I'm on the way. Something came up and give us a few minutes. So some of us who came and we made a quorum, I saw 9 o'clock ticking. Ah, 9:15. I said, I'm sorry. I called him. Please, sir, I will not be able to attend the meeting. I have a conference. And this conference, I've been preparing for it, and I'm expected to be there. And I want to be there 15 minutes earlier, or if possible, 20 minutes earlier, because that's who I am. My wife knows that after work, if I'm within the confines of Kambara, within Kambara, 6 o'clock has to find me at home. I want to be there to know, is there salt at home? Is there sugar? Because those are the things women ask if you didn't leave some sugar behind or some salt. Sit there, we don't have a matchbox. I have to be there to know that the matchbox must be there. So these are the calling of a man. So I really cherish time, because I know if I keep time, God will give me the grace to succeed in whatever I want to do. And then God times us. So I don't want to take much time in introducing. So a strong home or a strong family leads us to have a strong church. A strong home helps us to have a strong church. Without a strong family a home, then we don't have a strong church. That's the marriage. We must know that we need to be strong at home. Men of God at home. Then secondly, it helps us to have a strong government. When families are upright, strong, Our children will behave well. Our children will finish colleges strong. We will not bring thieves to the streets of Kambara or to the vicinity of the estates or wherever you stay, the places where we stay. We will have responsible children. And then these our children will not be thieves. They will not steal when they are in the offices. They will not chop the money of the government and take it away. No, they will be responsible because they have been brought up by a strong family, man and woman from home. So that is what it is. Now, let us go straight to one by one of these things that we have here. The priest in the home. Okay, not necessarily. We only live from the church, from the pastor. How does pastor treat the church? How does the pastor lead the church? How does Christ lead the church? How does he minister to us, Christ? Pastor, how does he minister? They're an extension of authority. It's an extension of responsibility. We are all called to be responsible, men, especially married men. Like pastor was saying, doesn't want, I came from, let me mention about where I came from. I was born an SDA in the family of SDA. I grew up to around P7. I started seeing some things. I said, I don't feel comfortable. Then I crossed over to Pentecostalism. So I went to, that was in Nairobi. Then my wife, born here in Uganda, I met her there. After marriage, she was also a Catholic, a very strong Catholic. Actually, they wanted to make her a nun. But by God's grace, it couldn't work. I'm sorry to say that, but that's what it is. We have to say the truth, and we have to give a testimony to know where we are coming from. And you know what we are today, how God has helped us. Because no one, God doesn't pick a perfect man to make him a husband, to make him a pastor, to make him a priest, a king. No. He picks a man who is full of sin. And out of that, he makes him to be something. So, after marriage in Nairobi, when we were in this routine of going church services, that is in Nairobi Pentecostal Church, I think up to date is there, in Valley Road, if you have been in Nairobi. So, after attending quite some services, several services, so this pastor preaches a message of salvation. Not that I was, but I felt that I should give my life to God. That was in 1982. So I went in front, not knowing that my wife also, she was in front, being prayed for, to give her life. That's how God saved us. Then from there, after some time, we joined the cult. From 1983 up to 1999, I think over maybe less than 10 years or 9 years below. We served in this cult. It originated from America. And they taught quite, you see, it is very difficult to differentiate between the line of truth and error. It's very difficult. Very difficult. You can't know whether this is the truth. Oh, this is not the truth. So somebody can take a scripture and really handle it and you say, oh, this is heaven on earth. We were there, parted in for over 9 years. But by the grace of God, when God started revealing things to some people and things started going wrong, you see, then God helps us. We came out to cut the story short. We came out and I crossed over to South Africa for some time. I was in South Africa for 7 years. My wife, it was difficult. Like pastor said that We men, we need to work hard and be the men at home, be the men to provide for our family, wife and children. I was in this dilemma that I didn't get a job very quickly after marriage. My wife was the sole earner of bread. And I was firstborn. I was the one, a man at home, babysitting. My wife could go in the morning, come and find me at home, taking care of our baby. That was a rare situation, like Pastor said. Very rare. And that's very rare. But it happened to me. But I would say, God, my wife could come and repeat and say, no, you are supposed to be the bread earner of this house. I say, yes, I understand. I didn't want to make things hard for her. I said, yes, my wife, I do understand. But I have not come across a job. So after some time, God blessed me with a job with UN. I went to the UN. I worked hard. Then my first, like I was sharing with one of the brothers, he was talking to me about business. Then after a few months, UN was paying us good money. I managed to buy a small vehicle. My first car was a Volkswagen. I loved them because they could roll over the waters and they can't get stuck in mud. So my wife was very happy. And I said, yes, I'm the man now. Able to provide for my family, able to give them good life. By then we had two children. My Lloyd was, he came later. So between my firstborn and secondborn is 4 years. And my lastborn and the secondborn is 7 years, that gap. God helped us. We never used any methods, these new methods, which you use a coil for a woman so that she doesn't get pregnant, use a condom so that she doesn't get pregnant. No, I said, no, I'm not going to use those things, I told my wife. So she told me, if I need sex, tell me when your days are dangerous. I don't touch you. Yeah? How many of you today, you young men? Yeah? That's a rare case again, I say. A rare case. Yeah? A rare case for a man to abstain from touching his wife. Yeah? When she has her dangerous days, that's the time when if you have sex with her, you get the baby. But you abstain. You say, I'll abstain. Are you? Yes. It is the mind. The mind. You can conquer anything. The mind. Control your mind. The mind. So, like that, and one time, I think I had sex with her, and then she said, oh, I think we made a mistake. Then I said, that's all right. That's the will of God. If you are pregnant, it's okay, don't worry. It happened to our young boy we have today, and I love him so much. Then from there, we talked. We sat down. I'm a bit outside the point, but this is our talk. So after some time, I said, please, let's have children that we are able to care ourselves, and bring them up, have enough money that they can have at least something. Clothes, when they are sick, we can able to pay hospital bills. When we want to go somewhere, we are able to go. When our parents need help, we are able to give them help. So we sat down, me and her. We sat, we agreed. We prayed about that. We agreed. Said, okay. We agreed, and then we said, now we are not going to have any more children. And then it was done. There was no such a thing like, what if these children die? Can't we go back and have some more? Yeah? That is our customary view. Said, have more children. In case three die, you remain with some. Yeah? Yeah? My father challenged me. I want you to have more children. I said, my father, this is my home. My wife and me. When I have problems, you not come, you not help me, you are growing old. I'm the one who is taking care, I'm the one who is buying salt, I'm the one who is buying clothes, educating them, you are not going to help me. He lifted up his hands because I challenged him. Of course, I come from a polygamous family. I watched my father suffer when he brought in the second wife. I saw him, a time reached when he wants to buy a kilo of meat this side, a kilo of meat this side. He was unable. He was a good teacher, colonial teacher. But, so it reached the time he divides the 1 kilo. It comes half-half. And we were many, like Pastor, I like Pastor says, there were 9 in a family. Brothers, 4, is it 4 ladies? 4 sisters. In my home, we are how many? 9 brothers, 4 sisters. So we had a football beach team on one side. And the other second house, my stepmother, also many. So my father was so overwhelmed. So when the Bible says a man is meant for one wife, that is it. I learned that from my father. That is it. And I thank God, Pastor, who has touched about that, about our families, where we, the background where we come from. We are not ashamed to talk about that because we are a new generation after our fathers. My children will be a new generation after me. Things will change, but God doesn't change. So that's where I'm coming from. So one brother asked me, where are you coming from? That name is very difficult. I normally don't like telling people where I'm coming from. Because I'm one person who fights tribalism. I fight it within me. I fight it in my family. One time, because my father told me, I want you to marry from my tribe. I said, no, Dad, I'm looking far away. Not even within Kenya. I'm looking far away. And my eyes are to the west. So my wife comes from here. I'm born of Kenya, but I was given by the government of Uganda because I've stayed here for many years. And I've no crime behind me. I have nothing. So when they investigated my life, they saw that I'm not a bad man, so they granted me citizenship forever. So, my people ask me, when you die, where are you going to be buried? I say, where my property is and where my children are. So, my children are born here. So, there's no point to carry a dead body across the borders that you are. What will it help them? Nothing. So our customs, yes, there are some things we value, and there are some things we don't need to value them. We throw them because we are not living in their age. We are living in our time. We see things differently. They saw things then differently. So that is, I like where my children one time will visit my grave and say, yeah, Dad is here. He's a good man. Let's go straight to the point. As a priest at home, in Romans 15:16, what does it tell us? A minister. We know we bought a leave from the minister at home, a minister, the pastor at the church. What does it say? You can take it down. Pastor does, he nudges us. He teaches us about the word of God. He prays for us. He counsels us. He tells us how to approach about life. That is on one basis, depending on what you want or what problem you are going through. You sit with pastor, he tells you, the way I see it is this way, and maybe if you try to approach things this way, God will help you. That's the work of the minister. The work of a priest, that is the priest as well. At home, take care of your wife. A priest must have, his lips must what? Always be with the knowledge and understanding, like pastor told us. Knowledge and understanding. Every time your wife is looking at you, when a problem hits at home, he's looking at you. How do you solve that problem? How do you advise her? She's looking at you as the head of the home. Pastor said, God subjected us to hard work after Adam failed in the garden. Says, from today, Adam, what you want, you'll get it from the ground. You till the ground. Hard work. We men, we are supposed to work hard. Lift heavy things. In my home, you find me lifting. My wife will never lift a saucepan, which is heavy. Over 5 kilos, 10 kilos. No, I'm there. Lifting that heavy thing. I put it where she wants. Makes it easy for her. Because these women are soft. They were created soft. weak vessels, like Pastor said, weak vessels. So we need to help them. Our lips should keep knowledge. Hebrews, you can also have that, Hebrews 5, 6, a priest forever. We see Christ as our example. Christ has never stopped being a priest over the church, being the senior pastor over the church, if I may use that word. We have a senior pastor, yes, here. But Christ, we can borrow a leaf from there. He has never failed to take care of the church, protect the church. That's the work of Christ, protect us, nourish us, give us knowledge, give us revelations, help us when we are reading the word of God to lead. The same thing, be there as a priest or as high priest forever, praying for your wife, praying for your children, praying for yourself, be there together. Time of supper, you are there with them. Type of reading the Bible or sharing, you are there with them. I told you my boy challenged me yesterday evening after. She opened his computer and told me, you see, Pastor Kelly, before he went, he gave me a disc which had, I like it. I don't know, Pastor, whether you have it. I think you have it. It has the whole Bible, the New Testament, everything. So when I want to consult that, I go there and check and see what I need and see how the Israelites in their old time, how they were handling issues. So pray with your family. Be there for them. Difficult times, be there. I had a friend of mine after work, and I think God helped me from, I had men around me. He could drink, fix women, go out, leave. From work, he goes out, passes through the club. But he say, friend, come, let's go. He said, what do you want to take? Give me a Fanta. Ah, these women are going, they will laugh at you. He said, don't mind, that's me. He takes his beers there. But I'm looking at my watch, I say, my brother, I don't have more time to stay with you, but I think since you're friends with me, please stay well. I'll see you tomorrow. After finishing my drink, I go. I didn't want darkness to find me out. I wanted to be with my family. Christ never leaves us alone. He's always walking with us. Pastor, we borrow a leaf from you as you take us through the church, praying for us, concerned. You are concerned about us, each and every one of us. Was telling us, he's expecting us to be leaders. Sometimes when I look behind, I see ladies carrying these offering bags. I rarely see brothers. I don't know what we are scared of. Let's stand up, like Pastor said, be the men in the church. Offering, we are there. Let us not give these women to see that we are weak or we are what. No. Let us show them that we are men. We love the church and we want to do God's work. Let's grab it, man. Let's take it up. That's our work. What you are here in the church is what you'll be at home. You are timid. You don't want to work. That's what you'll be. I'm not pronouncing a curse, but that's what I've seen. I've been in many churches. That cult, by the way, where I came from, had very strict rules. Strict. You never come to church with open shoes. There were ushers outside that. They would tell you, go back and dress well. They told us that. They told us, in a public place, don't wear open shoes. That's why President Amin, our late president, those years, could beat men, could be punished to eat sandals if they are found in the streets. Walking in sandals. You eat. What are you doing? Showing your feet on the public place. That is one of the cult's rules which they had. They tamed us, married, but we were tamed like young men. Tamed. Strict rules. Offerings, no sister could touch a bag. They had young men walking like soldiers, and they were trained the way they were walking in the church. You see, is this a military place or what? Walk straight with up. You know, you walk straight with your back up. Straight. Anyway, that's beside the point. The next thing is let's see here. I scattered my notes a bit, but I'll get that. Man as a protector at home. Anyway, let me not waste time, too much time there. So, we've talked about the priest, the protector at home. Pastor said, in fact, he covered most of the verses which had also written down. Said, men, we are supposed to protect our family. Be there, protect your wife. Before anybody touches your wife, you are there in front of her. You exercise your muscles. If you baroon up, you baroon before that guy. Yeah? If you are small like me, just put up your... Yeah? You see, like a chameleon. One time, I like watching nature. There is this small insect. It has... You see, it has small legs like this. I don't know how you call it. Long. Emma? A mantis, yes. There was this lizard wanted to chew it, become a meal. Ha, it's put up its wings like this, and those legs up like this. So in the eyes of the lizard, when you baroon up like this, you become a giant. You look so big, and then after that, the lizard went away. The mantis won the war, protected itself. So protect your wife. Before anybody touches, we are supposed to protect. Not only that, in the physical, but equip your wife with some knowledge. Protect her from the gossipers. Women, other women, you know, we have women who gossip. We have women who have long mouths. They like always going from house to house looking for gossip. They carry words from enemies, something from this house, they take it to another family. Oh, they are doing like this. Oh, they are doing like this. Oh, what's your husband doing? Protect her from such women. Not only that, see the devil. See Adam. Adam, when he was on probation, let me use that word, probation. After marriage, you are like on probation, man. After you are married, you are new wife. You are on probation. We are observing you. You have been called to marriage. You have a new wife. The elders are looking at you, watching at you. How are you? You know, God is watching, was watching Adam. Adam, how are you protecting your wife? So Adam leaves his wife alone for some time, good time. I don't know how. The Bible doesn't say how long. So Eve was there in the garden. So what does? Eve comes across the snake. I know you know the story. So the snake takes a good time with Eve. They talk. The devil arranges Eve. Ah, you are not told to eat this tree. This from this tree. Ah, if you knew what is in that tree, you would be like him if you eat it. You will test it. Even gets it done. So, whatever Eve saw, he carried it to the husband. And because of love, I don't know, because of love, too much love, Eve was the only thing that he had. Around him was animals and plants, like Pastor said. That's what it was. God wanted him to watch, clean, keep the garden. It was there. So, Eve comes with the fruit. You eat, I've eaten. But who told you to eat? So Adam eats. And we see the consequences. What happened in the garden? That's why we have the life we have today, because of what happened in the garden. So sometimes you leave your wife, you don't safeguard her from these gossipers, from these women we have who come home in the name of fellowship. But they are there. They have another agenda. You're supposed to talk to her about such people. Like Pastor cares for us. He tells us the dangers of these wolves in sheep's clothing. He equips us so when we are attacked, we know how to protect ourselves. So we are supposed to protect our wives by sharing with them and telling them this is wrong. That's a protector, a priest, a protector at home. Not only in terms of knowledge or danger, but make sure that your wife, I'm going to touch that, there is all that she needs at home. So Adam was not protective enough, so the devil took advantage of that, and Eve was beguiled, and that was a problem. Now, the next point, courageous and be the husband in the home. I gave you Hebrews as a priest, 1 Peter. No, that one should have been number one, 1 Peter 2:5. And the protector, the most common scripture is 1 Timothy 5:8. You can have that, you add that to your notes as a protector. Now let's go to as a husband in the home. We have here Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, going forward. I would like us to read that one, all of us, because it is a very important scripture. It will help us in our marriages. It talks about the church, touches more about the church, but the church is the family is the extension of the church. 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, love your wives. We are called here by Christ. Paul says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and died for it. In the place of a husband, how can you love your wife to the point of defending her, to the point of death? Kill me and then you take my wife. We are going to see that with Abraham. What happened to Abraham with Sarah? We are going to see that. But here, as a husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. We are supposed to love our dear wives so much that nothing separates you from that wife. We have talked about protection. You protect your wife. That's one component about love. Loving your wife. When you love yourself, isn't it? I love myself so much. You love yourself so much. You take time to wash that body. You take time to care that, to care for your hair, nails, your feet. You buy nice shoes for that, for yourself, because you love yourself. You love yourself so much. You want to look nice before the people. Here we have been given an extra duty. You have a wife. God has given you a wife. You're supposed to love that wife dearly. Buy good things for her. Oil for the hair. Let her go to the saloon. Provide money for that. We are going to see that again ahead of this. Give her sufficient money. Let her body appearance appear good, nice, that no other woman, however much attractive she may be, she will not surpass your wife, because your wife is the best thing you have. The Bible says, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Not even this harlot in the street can appear better than your wife until she takes your heart and you forget about your wife. I tell you that I travel a lot and I spend my rest of the week in the hotels. This time I was in Movende with our team. And where we sleep, this lady, they see us coming as we are, and they go out every day as we are. We don't have any woman beside us carrying our bags or carrying our things. We eat, we go in and sleep like babies. So this woman, she came and said, I want to wash your clothes. I said, oh, you want to wash my clothes? How much are you going to charge me? I said, because maybe I look like somebody who has money. I said, so much. I said, oh, so much. I don't have that money. Oh, how much are you willing to give me? I wash your shirts. I said, maybe I'll give you clothes, not many shirts. I'll give you 2,000. I said, okay, I'll take. So because we leave our keys behind, they clean the rooms. And so on my bed, that night I'd read my Bible and left my Bible on bed. When in the morning I folded the bed sheets and the blanket very well. I put it in one side. But I said, my Bible ready to be there. I don't know what made me leave my Bible there because I always go with it. So I left it there. So when she entered the room, she said, my clothes are there. When she entered my room, she saw the Bible. She said, so when I came back in the evening, with that smiles which she had in the morning, wood smiles. So when I came back in the evening, it wasn't the same smile. It was something different. I knew the Lord had done the job on my behalf. I don't have to be there and explain to her I'm married or I'm what. So what she saw answered whatever she had. And she never made moves any longer. Then she said, what kind of work are you doing? I say, yes. We go around teaching people about HIV and AIDS. We train people and we equip them with knowledge every day because HIV changes. Did you know that? Disguises itself and it changes. So the scientists also are working hard to counterattack it with different types of medicine, strong medicine. We used to take about how many tablets a day? 3 times a day. These days you are given a dose of 1 tablet. And it takes care of you the whole day until the next day. Maybe if you have a time of taking in the morning, 8 o'clock, you take 8 o'clock in the morning and 8 o'clock in the evening. So 1 tablet. So it keeps on changing. So what was I talking about? About this rate, isn't it? So our character, wherever we are going, will either save you or betray you. We as men. Pastor said that we should be leaders. So I told this lady, that's my job. We help people. In our day, so many diseases are there. AIDS can come as flu. AIDS can come as malaria. AIDS can come as diabetes. If you have diabetes, it takes the weak point. If you have malaria, that's where it gets you. If you have diabetes, that's where it gets you. If you are you have gonorrhea, that's where it gets you. TDS, it gets you there. And then it suppresses you. So one time we went to a village here in Kampala to help a young man of about 18 years, 16, 18. And this guy, because of keeping quiet and the parents didn't know. And this disease had taken toll on him. So I think he had either gonorrhea and syphilis at the same time. So he had fallen. Yeah? Completely could not put his legs together. So he was walking. Yeah? So what we did, we just tightened he didn't put a panty or a trouser, but we tied a wrestle. And then we carried him and put him in ambulance and brought him to our center to help him. But he could not be operated on because you operate him on when he has HIV, you have killed him. So the only alternative was just give him drugs to suppress the disease. But because it was too much on him in his body, We could not save his life. So if you are HIV and you know that you are a victim, we as men, we are talking as men, please don't shy off. Speak quickly and be helped. You can live with HIV for some time, good time, 40, over 50 years, 60 years. If you obey the rule, God tells us we obey his word and we shall live. We become men, be men at home, and we shall have good families. God tells us to obey his word. You are a husband, obey the word of God as a husband. Obey the word of God as a priest. Obey the word of God as man of God, and we shall live, and we shall be blessed. And we see many families who obey God's word. Their children get blessed. They themselves get blessed. I myself, I can have a testimony. I am what I am today because not that I have so much, not that I'm so clever, not that I know how to do things. No. I told you, if I knew how to do things, I could not be brought under that cult. I could not join that cult. But God sometimes leaves us to go through some things. So when he reveals his word and when he shows you something, or when he savages you from a situation, you won't go back again. Paul was one of them. Paul was killing people. He was forcing them to join the church. Come. Put them in jail, flog them. But after God spoke to him on his way to Damascus, he said, Lord, who am I? So, this guy died eventually. And we have seen many people die like that because HIV is a combination of diseases. Let me use this opportunity to tell you that HIV is dangerous. HIV as a young man, because here we are going to see how young men you can keep yourselves pure from. Be a pure person in sex, pure. Remain pure until you marry. Don't let that body, you know, dictate you and say, today I want a woman, because you see many women walking here in Kampala half naked, and then your mind is triggered. Triggered. Today I must have one in my room. Maybe you have two rooms or one room. Today I must go with one. Yeah? Today I have to. I told you this woman was having moves, but because of what you are, you put her off. So eventually she said, hey, you people here, you come and sleep like babies. You don't even drink. You don't even be here. What? I said, yes. Yeah? We sleep like babies because time has called us to sleep like babies. So she says, she thought maybe we don't love sex. But I was telling her, the times we are living in has called us to be sleep like babies. But I'm a husband. My wife enjoys. I enjoy sex with my wife. Not sex with quotes. Pure sex. You know, you can have your wife pure sex and you don't have sex for 2 weeks. Pure wife. I mean pure sex. Proper sex. Not just this one of, I am now set. I'm running 100 kilometers. Yeah? I am set. I'm going 100 what? 100 yards, dash without stopping until I reach there. You die. You die. Sex can kill you. Do you know that? Yeah? So, as a husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. I'm not ashamed to tell you that since 1981, when I married my wife, I'm now over 30 years old in marriage. I've never touched any woman. No woman has seen my nakedness. And I and my wife, we have developed in trust. We have grown in trust. And even when I go anywhere on earth, whether Britain, America, she knows my husband. The Lord is keeping him. Not me keeping myself. The Lord is watching. And she prays over me. As well as also when I'm out there, I'm praying over them. I tell God, before I sleep, please, Lord, be a watchman. Be a watchman and a keeper of my family, my wife. Because my two sons are not staying with me. My daughter is not staying with us. they have their own homes or houses. I'm trying to help them to be responsible in their own little home, be at home in time. Like my, they have never seen me come home late. If I come home late, they hear me calling their mother, "Please, mommy, I'm coming home maybe a little bit later because of this and this." And they said, "Okay, can children go ahead and have food?" No, they said, "When you come, they want to eat, to see you eat with us." So I don't eat in hotels to spoil my appetite because my wife is cooking at home. She has already cooked. So I take something little so that I leave space to enjoy my wife's food at home together with the children at table. That's me. I don't know about other men. That's me. And that's how I have. The Lord has helped me to keep my family. So let us love our wives as Christ loved the church. You can see, you can go there and read many, 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 many things about loving the church. I mean, loving your wife. You can also go, if you have a Bible, I like King James, the old-fashioned pastor likes. It's the same? New. Me, I like the old, which is thou, Lord. Ye, with Y-E, ye brothers, you in the brotherhood. You see, I like that. So, all of us, we are one, but we are not the same. Like, you have kidneys in the body. They are not, they don't look like your legs, do they? They don't. They have different functions. Like, the legs have different functions. So what the head does and the eyes does, the legs, that's what the legs are. Does, isn't it? Yes. So here we are brothers. We have one faith. We are one body, but different function. Functions. That's why Pastor is telling us, let's wake up and be what? Men in the house of God. Pick the offering this weekend, this coming Sunday, tomorrow. I'm looking forward to see brothers, maybe with one sister, brothers walking and taking offerings. Because if anything comes, tax come in here. When you have that offering bag, you take it and you hit him with one hand. The sister cannot do that. Can he? What Pastor has shown us here? Yes, a part in his home. He said, if a thief comes from one window there, he's there ready to hammer him. That's what we are supposed. It's not different from the house of God. The house of God also, what we are called to do many things. Brothers, pick up those bags and let us help Pastor to build the church. So let us love our women like the Bible says. Now, we have seen that Christ loved the church so much. A husband loving his wife. I told you that when you love your body, you don't hurt yourself. Eh? You keep it, you maintain it, you buy good oil, you buy everything that the body needs. You should do the same to your wife. In fact, before you take care of yourself, take care of her first. Buy things for her first before you buy for yourself. That is a man, the calling of a man. Pastor has told us that we are the head. So, let us protect our wives, love our wives as Christ loved the church. Be proud of your wife. I told you that Abraham protected his wife very much. When they were on a journey, I think, going to see the promised land, they were going somewhere, I just did not hear. And on their way, they were passing through Egypt. And then before approaching Egypt, Abraham realized that there are mighty men there, and the fellow is there. Their men were strong, and he was alone. So what did he do? Adam protected his wife by saying what? He looked for a means of protecting his wife. Then it means dying, let me die, but I protect my wife. So Abraham told his wife was very beautiful. Sarah was a very beautiful woman to look at. Very beautiful. I don't think we have women who are beautiful today as Sarah was. Because Abraham knew that he had a very beautiful wife. So he tells Sarah, please, Sarah, do what? Tell these people that you are my sister. One thing, you save my life, and you save yourself. Then, knowing that he has said what he said, he left things unto God. Because that is the only way. He had no any other option. But the only option was to say you are my sister. You are my sister and I'm your brother. Period. Don't change. What did Abraham had in mind? Sometimes we come to such situations, maybe protecting the way to protect our wives. Then we have no other option, but we have one. You go that way. Say, whatever comes, Lord, help me and help my wife. Then he said, let me say her to say a lie. In this, we see a situation where Abraham, remained that way and left things in the hands of God. And eventually we see God protecting Sarah and protecting who? Abraham. He had nothing. So there is a situation which can come in your marriage and say, what do I do? Do I have to steal? Do I have to give my wife and I get money? Do I tell my wife, go and lie or go and fornicate with that officer in the office to give you a job? Then we get saved from, we are dying of hunger, we don't have money. You go, just once. But he never had that situation. So God seeing what was in the mind of Abraham, he protected him and protected Sarah. So we need to be men who jealously protect our wives. And because of that, Sarah was protected. Pharaoh never touched Sarah, although he took her. That night, the angel appeared to Abimelech, says, never touch that woman. So God moved in there and protected. So there are situations which come and God protects us, our wives and ourselves from that situation. So we should always be truthful to God, whatever cost it is. Even the minister of God should be that way. Whatever cost, God will move in there and help us. Protect your wife. Love your wife as you love yourself. Now, a provider at home. We men, we are called to provide for our wives. We are the people who are supposed to work hard, look for food, go to the market, buy food, bring it home. It's the work of a man. Pastor told us it's the work of a man. Lift those cabbages from the market. Don't be ashamed, man. You are married. That's period. Those women there, you ashamed them. Carry the food home. I'm going my home with food. My children will be happy. You carry those bags from the supermarket. If you have a car, put them in the car. If you are going by what? A taxi? Be in the taxi. I've done that myself. I've done that. What I'm telling you, I've been doing it, and I still am doing it. My wife rarely goes to the market. I go to the market, buy food. I say, give me a list. She says, I want this. I want onions of this much. Or she calls me from wherever. Come with potatoes. Come with onions. Come with tomatoes. Are you able to buy them? I say, yes, I will bring them. Because I don't have another woman beside me. I don't have another woman to lavish within the hotel or somewhere that she, to the point where she says, do you know, I have a problem. I want to go and then you divide that money, which is supposed to be for the home. You divide it. You give this woman beside your life. God hates it. And he hates it, I'm telling you. He hates it. And you bring a curse to yourself at home. Bring a curse to your wife. Bring a problem to your children and to yourself. The problem with AIDS, because we have AIDS moving on from one person to another. People, these days, people are producing children with AIDS. That's a cursed home. God told the children of Israel, when you obey my word and keep my commandments, I will remove all these diseases of Egypt from you. You will never be, your home will be protected by God, by the angels. Your children will be kept. Yes, they are in Kampala, they are there moving in schools, but God will protect them. Nothing will happen with them. when you are a provider at home, a man at home, the scripture I want to give you, provide at home, which where Paul says, if any other man be not a provider of his own household, is worse than what? Is worse than an infidel. Do you know what an infidel? One, look for it in the dictionary. For yourself, you'll get it. It's worse than an infidel. Worse, if any man provide not for his own family. If you don't provide for your family, you are worse than an infidel. And God hates that. Should have not taken somebody's daughter, put her home, you come at 3 o'clock singing sometimes, or what? You have eaten from there. You don't know what your children have eaten. You knock there, she opens. I have many things. There's a woman I was listening. There's a program in a radio. When I'm in Masaka, I always listen to it. They have programs where they say drunkards left their wives. They come home. They don't know what the woman has eaten, what the children have eaten. But this woman was a woman of God. She remained faithful to the husband. She will keep in the house until she comes. Children go to sleep, but she remains awake. She waits for the husband. Kong, kong, she opens the door. When she opens, this drunkard comes, vomiting, what, she takes care of him, what, everything. Until one day, God worked a miracle and saved this man. There's a scripture in the Bible, in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, if you read it, the whole of it. If you are a husband who is holy in the home and your wife is not saved, you must be the savior. Don't go and look for a saved woman and bring home. You are the savior of that woman. Change her by your character. Change her by your honesty, by your faithfulness. You can change that woman and she can be saved. God does that. He can save that woman for you. So let us provide. Providing means you do the following. Buy food at home. Clothing for her. Money for her, making her hair. Lotion. Give her money, provision for that. Money for her pocket. Yeah? Buy those things which she needs. She wants those things you buy. You as a man, you are the provider. No, another person. Today you look at our women laboring. See, we have single mothers. Many. Wherever you walk, they are there. Single mothers working hard to provide for those two children. No, one child, the man left. The man is somewhere. She doesn't know. But the woman is laboring. That's what Pastor was telling us. Let us be leaders. Let us lead. That, no wonder women are telling us that there are no men these days. You young men, women are saying, there are no men to marry me. Where are the younger men? Because they see you don't have the qualities of leadership. I don't read papers, but I bought this time when I was in Mubenda, I bought one of the newspapers, New Vision. And I came across a section saying, men writing love letters, men looking for women, and women looking for men. Now, young men, 18 years, you want a woman of 35. Then you say, I want this woman like this, a woman who is able to provide, a woman who is able to care for me, a woman who is able, who is rich. That's terrible. That's terrible. A young man looking for a woman who is, first a woman who is was her own house and driving, and then must have money. I hate my son to do that. I will sit with him and tell him, my son. And I started that long ago. Not today when he's a grown up, because I can't bend a tree when it has grown up. You can never bend a tree when it's grown up. You try to take it this, you can't even move it because the roots have gone. Are on the ground, so you cannot move that tree. So bring up a child in the way of the Lord, and when he has grown, he will never depart from it. That's the calling of a husband. Provide at home. Pastor touched about working hard. We need to work hard and provide for our. Me have done weird jobs because I wanted to provide for my wife and my children. I reached the point of saying, you know, there is what we call a flowering age in ladies. If a lady you see has grown, is young, the age of 8,
from, let's say, 20
and 30. That's their flowering what? Age of getting married. And if you see a girl between there has not found a man, not that, okay, that's true. That's when she's very attractive. The skin is smooth. She looks nice, beautiful. They are there. That's her time now to get a man and marry her. But when they go beyond 35, 40, they are finished. And no man wants a woman of 35 to bear children. And biologically, they can't bear children in a normal way. They go for cesarean because their bonds in women in nature, when they grow old before 40 years, they can't give birth properly. So they go for cesarean because the bonds are what? Have grown strong. So the child cannot pass that passage. It becomes tight. And then the only thing, they go and operate her. So that's beside the point. Let's continue. Provide for your wife. And when you provide, let me tell you a secret. When you provide for your wife, I have very few minutes. When you provide for your wife, when you come home in the evening, the bed is wonderfully laid. I'm talking about the bedroom. You find the kitchen is good. The food is nice. When you go to the bedroom, even if there was a, you can get a perfume, that little money you leave. Spray that bed and make it nice. It invites you for one thing. And if you don't click, you may fail her. Yeah. That's why we say, men, young men, don't eat sweet things. You kill the manhood. When you eat sweets, you find a big man, he has a sweet with a stick, he has pulled it. And now they are walking with the woman, and the woman has a sweet, the man has also sweet things. After some time, the man wants, the red reaches a point, no, you know, these women are very wise, and they grow faster than men. So you know, he checks the trouser to see, is this man, is there any change in that trouser? Is there anything happening there? They are very wise, they know. They check your trouser. If your trouser is not up like this here, then they say, this one. It's off. Provide, work hard. Don't let your women go to the market. Don't be ashamed of your family. Go on to the market, buy things, bring home. Carry them. That's the work of a husband, the provider at home. We talked about the husband. We talked about protecting your wife. We talked about Pharaoh never touched the Sarah. We talked about that. I have many things, but because of our time, I want to cut it short. Father in the home. This is where we have problems today in the world. A father at the home. A father at the home. You are not called to go and sit with other men in the club after work. You have a calling. You have a wife and children at home. After work, because you have God called you to go and work, you have worked 8 hours. From work, you have about 30 minutes or 45 minutes to go home. Go home. Be a father at home. Be with your children. Play with them because they have missed you the whole day. Play with them. If they are having homework, they are at the age of going to school, help them with their homework. Tell them, I love you. I want to see you grow. If it's a man, a boy, I want you to grow a strong boy. I want you to be a winner. I want you to read these words like this and be a winner. Encourage that small boy. So the words you speak to the boy as a father, that's what matters a lot. Even if somebody else from outside comes and tells that boy something else, you say, no, my dad never told me that. But if a stranger comes, or you are in Mubende, this guy comes with a sugar, a kilo of sugar in the evening, there's a weakness in that home or whatever.
Oh, uncle, how are you? I'm fine. Oh, hold on.
Uncle will become uncle forever, and you lose your children and your wife. I have a friend of mine, the one I told you, when he became weak sexually, he reached the point because not only providing food, you must be there for your wife for sex, provide sex, quality sex.
be there.
It's one of the provision God gives us as men. Provide for your wife. Sex, what is sex? This man, after some time, drinking alcohol, too much alcohol, he lost manhood, never work. So this woman was always anticipating better things from the man. The man wasn't there. Even if he's there, he was not standing up to the calling of being a man sexually. So this woman says, why don't I try things outside? If tried it outside, and the consequences of we are feeling them today. So this woman went out. He found the man who plays in the Champions League. This soccer that you are seeing. Ah, Champions League. Let me go there and watch, because I watch quality passes. How this guy just and had a trick. So he finds this guy who plays in the Champions League. Yeah? This guy takes this woman up and shows her what he has never seen. So the man lost the wife that way. So we are not only called to provide food at home, but quality sex for our wives. They will never look anywhere. They will never have any desire. I told you earlier that sex can kill, but when you have quality sex, you remain healthy, you remain strong, your wife gets satisfied. You touch, you can hold your wife until she reaches what we call organisms in biology. Don't run 100 kilometers like I told you, like you are said to. Eh? That's another topic with the marriage, maybe. So, a father at home, be there for your children. Be there for them when they need you. Pray with them. Yeah? Pray with them. Play with them. If you have soccer or whatever. Be there as a leader. Guide them. When they ask you things, please explain to them. Give them enough time. It's an extension of the church, family. Now, we don't need to borrow worldly wisdom. Worldly wisdom, like Eve had it. We don't need to go and we get tricks from the streets. Men tell us, I do this, I hate that myself. I hate to do that. I want to read the Bible. I want to be with old men like myself. We talk, like I talk with my son. We sit down, man to man, when my wife is not there. We talk things. I say, don't be shy, just ask anything. I will explain, but except when it comes to marriage, I will send you to somebody else to explain you things about sex. But I go to some extent, I tell them this and that, we talk. I sharpen them about what is in the world, what the tricks of women, everything. Like I told my younger son, I say, please, I hate to see you being taken up by sugar mommy because I failed to provide for you, to give you pocket money. Every week I have to make sure I just give him enough money to take him through the week. Because this university here, there are many there, women, who go there in the evening, take these younger men, because they see what they write on what? In the newspapers. I want this kind of woman. They go there. We lose younger men like that. They can't finish even a university. They just go and die out there. They get disease because those women give them money. Now, to finish because of time, you remember when I was praying here one time, I said, the words we speak are very powerful. The words that we speak from our mouth, they are very powerful. So these wives of ours, when they see us, what we tell them, and when we mean what we tell them, and they see our actions, they see what we do, what we show them, love, care, the tender care that we give them. There is no man will come across your wife or to challenge her. Never. In so doing, we have protected our homes, our families from such people. Because I was sharing with another brother, I said, temptation is there. Don't think when we are saved, God puts us in somewhere where we can't see naked women, where we can't see women with short pants or skirts. No, they are there. Temptation is everywhere. Temptation is everywhere. David sinned. David was a womanizer. David the king in the Bible. He was. Yeah? That doesn't give us a room for us to go and do like David did. No. David maybe was an example for us to learn what used him. And at the end of it, he said, Mnang, there is nothing there. I wasted my time. I wasted my energy. It's better to remain with one woman. That's the end of it. So the words we speak are powerful. Everyone should be slow to speak. Don't speak so quickly. Take time to analyze what you, the words you are going to speak. There's more hope for such a man than it. Or there's more hope for a fool than such a man. The words are what? When we speak too many words. But remember, sin is present. We speak too many, but sin is always present when we speak too many words. That's all these things are in the Bible. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint. When you have knowledge, you use your words very carefully. You restrain, even at home, you restrain yourself. Like Pastor said, you restrain yourself. When you are talking to your wife, don't always be a dictator. Don't dictate your wife. You are equal. Same. Ah, Mama Wabana. Why is me who is not seeing properly? How do you see about this? A man is born with wisdom. Stand before your wife with wisdom, because your wife is a weaker vessel. Wisdom. Let me leave there. Let me go to challenge young men very quickly before my brother comes in. Young men, we have singles here. Please take this scripture, young people, young brothers here. 1 Corinthians 7, chapter 7, verse 9. But you can read the whole chapter. Now, there are brothers who are born with high sexual what? Yeah? Yes, Hido. You can't wait. When you see a woman or a sister passing by, especially these ones which have their up to here. And remember, what a man sees, we are born like that. What I see is what I want. I want to go for it. That's the nature of man. I want it. I want it. Give me quickly. Quickly, I'm burning. When you can see that woman, they say, give me quickly. I'm burning. And women, they know it. So they use that to track you. So did that first. So what do we do with such brothers who have a high appetite of sex? The Bible advises us, demon admonishes, says it's better for you to marry than to burn. If you are of age, fact, that is the best answer I can give you. Marry if you see that you can't contain yourself. You can't be pure sexually. Marry, then you, from there, it's okay. Look for a sister, marry, do a wedding, whatever, and save yourself from burning. What does... Time also is important for young men. I married when I was young. My father encouraged us to marry when we were young. If you see that you have income, don't wait until you are a rich person like the men we have of today. 40 years, he's looking for money. He wants to have a better house. He wants to have a car. He wants to have what in the house before he brings a woman. Who told you? Sometimes we borrow worldly knowledge and it damns us. When would your children grow when you are 40 years? 50, you're almost giving up. And the time to love and play with your children is when you are young. So as we grow older, we tend to spend our time in business. We then tend to spend our time in other things which are not with young, with babies. I hate to have a child at my age right now. I hate to have a child at my age. Because this is the time I want to relax, eat what God has given me, enjoy it with my wife, and I remain a bit younger maybe. Before I die at the age of 80, I believe that time, with the help of my children in there, if they can have mercy, see what I've done for them. Also, they say, that you did so much for us. Can we give you this? I say, bring it over. I'll be happy. Yeah? Because also, I've done something for them while they are in this world. So, young people, please, time is important. Marry in good time if you have a job. Don't wait. I married when I didn't have even... In fact, my wife is the one who provided saucepans. Not me. My wife. I didn't even have one. Because that time, I think... tell you. Say, so, you know, you get counsel from... Get counsel from an experienced person. Sometimes our parents dictate us to go and marry when we are well off. Start with your wife from zero. Who cares? Who knows what God has for me tomorrow? I'm not the way I was 30 years. I'm somewhat different. And somebody looks at me and says, hey, that man is rich. When did he invest? I started, I remained faithful to my wife. I worked hard. I didn't disguise a job. Any job to provide for my family. Maybe God saw that and lifted me up. Opened the ways and I got. So to wind up, please. I told you to read the whole, to be sexually pure. That chapter will give you, you read and understand. The mind is very important. The mind dictates us, the mind. Tame our mind, tame your mind. I tame my mind and God will help us. So, thank you so much. Young people, please be responsible. Obey the word of God. Men of God, men, married people, let's be example to the young people in the church. Not only in the church, at home in the community. That's how we shall change people. Not because I am saved, I have a Bible. They see me with a Bible. But what about my deeds, my actions? It goes along. Paul says, is it Paul? Show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith with works. They go together. So you can say, I have faith, but I don't have works. It can't work, my brother. Works must go with faith. So your wife must also see you. Faith with works. Provide. Stand firm. Thank you. I take this as a very big, big, big privilege to stand before you. Since I joined or I came to the fellowship in this CCK, I've never been given an opportunity to share with people or with the church. But I thank the pastor of this church. I thank those leaders, the elder there, the younger elder, for men's fellowship. I thank him so much for this privilege. And let us work together. Let us love one another. Let us be faithful. And God will bless the church. God will lift this church. God will lift our homes. That's what makes the difference. Nothing else. Working hard, working together. I don't feel jealous about a brother who has something. I don't. No, I work. There are people who have big cars. I don't feel jealous for them. I don't know how they get their cars. But I work slowly. With my step by step, I'll be there tomorrow. Maybe I'll have a, I keep telling my sons, you will have a better car tomorrow. Don't even yearn to buy, if you are employed, to run before you establish yourself to go and buy a new car because you want also to drive like others. That's a long path. First of all, establish yourself slowly by slowly, step by step. Better cars, better women, not the one you are seeing today if you are not yet in time of marriage. Are ahead of you. Maybe yours is not born. God bless you, brothers.